Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Mets had an absolutely awful weekend. They got swept by the pathetic Tampa Bay Rays. I do have good news for you. They're one game out of a playoff spot. True story. That's how mediocre the National League is so far. And that's what matters. Because if you ask me right now, would you rather watch the Mets win 90 games and miss the playoffs or win 80 games and make the playoffs, I would choose the 80 and make the playoffs. With all of that said, I think I've shown you, Sean, and everybody listening, that I can be patient. It's baseball. It's a long season. You got to give guys time. And I've been consistent about that with Aaron Judge and Francisco Lindor, two guys that we've talked a lot about or a decent amount about considering their early slumps. But I come to you right now with someone I am worried about. Someone I am, dare I say, panicking about.
Are you worried?
I am worried. And that person I'm worried about is not Pete Alonso. I want to make that very, very clear. Am I happy with Pete Alonso? No. Am I disgusted with some of his at-bats over the last week or so? Yes. Bases loaded, double plays, pop-ups to second base, flailing at changeups in the dirt. I am not going to sit here, despite how grotesque my beard and hair is, out of loyalty to Pete and sugarcoat a damn thing. He's been a mess, and he's got to wake up. But I'm not worried. And the reason I'm not worried is because last year, even though Pete Alonso had a career-low batting average of .217, he had 46 home runs and drove in 118 runs. And I am confident that Pete Alonso will get to those numbers and will get hot and will make someone pay and all of those cliches. And as far as worrying about his contract, I will worry about his freaking contract in November. Okay? This beard ain't going anywhere, so I'm not going to sit here fretting over how much money he's going to make based on his numbers on May 6th, good or bad, by the way.
You're not wrong on the contract, and need I remind anybody who's upset this morning as a Met fan, the only reason you're upset this morning and the fact that this series is already still relevant is because Pete Alonso saved the season at 0-5-2.
That's a fair point, yeah.
How about that?
Thank you. I like that. He's at his clutch moments. Yeah. Now, he's been terrible lately, and he has not had a good season. There's no denying that, but you're right. If you want to go back to the first week of the year, that home run was a monstrous home run. And that's why anyone, and this always happens, anyone who wants to relitigate players' clutchness while they're slumping, like let's talk about their entire career, you're barking up the wrong tree to say he's never clutch. If you want to rip him for this slump right now, dude, I'm with you. I'm with all of you. Pete Alonso's a mess right now. In fact, I'm thinking of paying a visit to the locker room and saying, Pete, I love you. This beard's getting cut unless you start hitting. I'm thinking of threatening him.
You should go all John Q and say, I'm not leaving this clubhouse, and you're holding a razor up until you figure this out.
The only problem is, how does that go? Like, if I threaten him by, I will cut this beard despite me growing it for you, he could react horribly and maybe punch me in the face.
And
that's possible.
Probably have a cleaning crew just sweeping up all of the blood and beard pellets from
true.
There. But you got to try it.
Yeah, I may consider doing that, or I may consider doing nothing and just keeping this long hair and beard and hoping he turns it around.
To be fair, the story of the summer would be Pete Alonso hitting 190 and Evan walking around with the beard begging he gets re-signed. That's so perfect.
Look, I'm not worrying about the re-signing anymore. I mean, it will take care of itself in the offseason, and you're going to drive yourself nuts if you reevaluate how much he's going to make or if you want him based on every slump over the course of a long season. What are you laughing about?
Because, and you're going to get to who you're really worried about.
Yeah,
I'll
tell you who I'm worried about.
But, you grew this beard out of the, I can't wait for him to re-sign.
Yeah.
And I know that, and I'm with you, so I don't want to make this a disagreement. I am with you that I think he will figure it out. He's too good a player not to. However, at 206, to 295 on base, the whole deal.
Yes.
Is there a point you could get to, let's say, in August on a hot, steamy, 100-degree heat wave where Alonso's hitting 185 where you go, why am I even doing this, and you shave it where you don't even want him re-signed?
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked that question. Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, I think I'm going to grow more frustrated, more so than normal, if Pete continues to not hit. Because not only am I a diehard Met fan who will be frustrated that he's hurting the team, but I'll be frustrated that I have a ferret living on my face for this man.
And it gets so hot.
And it's going to get hot. And even now, like, forget the beard for a second. My hair is disgusting. It is wavy. I don't know what to do with it anymore. It's just bad. So we have reached a point where not only is Pete bad, but I am a disgusting pig because of my loyalty to him. Now, what does that look like in June or July if things don't turn around? It could get ugly. I can't guarantee it. But I do have confidence in him. And I do want to warn my fellow Met fan about this. For your own mental health when it comes to sports, don't overthink the contract. Like, seriously, and it's the same with the Yankees when Judge was having a great year. Don't overthink, wow, he's awesome. What's it going to cost me?
Right.
This season is going on right now, and here's what I'd equate it to. I'd equate it to the Knicks. Are Knicks fans breaking down trading for Jimmy Butler because Pat Riley scolded him in the media today? Are they breaking down trading for... No, they're worrying about their season. Their
some
season
are.
Is going on right now. Well, they're wrong.
I know, but it's inevitable.
And so as a Met fan, what I'm worried about is this season. That's what I'm worried about. All right? And by the way, the whole, well, what if they trade him? They will only trade him or be considering trading him if they're out of a pennant race. They're one game out despite sucking. Like, that's the state of the National League. But let me tell you who I am worried about. Let me tell you about the guy who's gotten a free pass mm-hmm. for a long time. When Francisco Lindor is struggling and this guy's worse, let's kill Lindor. When this guy's struggling and Pete Alonso's worse, let's talk about Pete. Well, let's talk about the guy who for a year and a half now has done nothing. And you know what also pisses me off? He's done nothing since he's gotten his own contract. And that's Jeff McNeil. Jeff McNeil has been a dog since he went to that Ranger game. And everybody was like, oh, the squirrel's here. And then he got his contract. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not a massive contract. I get that. It's not a huge, big money deal. It was a very team-friendly deal. If Jeff McNeil isn't hitting 320, he's useless.
Right.
He has no power. He doesn't have a good eye. Yes, he's versatile, but it's not like the Mets are using that versatility right now because he's their only second baseman, unless you want to suit up Joey Wendell. So right now, what is he good at? And this slump that McNeil's in, Sean, has been going on since last year.
It doesn't end. And they can't figure out where to hit him in the order because of it. By the way, choke up on the bat a little more. Maybe make a little more contact. He's Luis Arraez, but worse in a bad slump. All he does is hit for average.
But the bad slump has been going on for a long time.
Forever.
Like, hitting for average has been gone since he won the batting title.
Yeah.
So I know we have been
literally... 2 runs scored in a week.
Dude, he's been terrible. He's got no pop. He gets no extra base hits. He has been striking out, including the other night where he struck out, I think, 3 times. Like, he's a mess.
Think about it. In a perfect world with his skill set, he is your leadoff hitter. In a perfect world. I know he wouldn't be Nimmo, et cetera, but I'm talking about that kind of on base, all of that. Without the pop, where do you hit a Jeff McNeil in the lineup?
Right now, I'd consider him batting him ninth.
I'm not joking
with you. And again, what concerns me is I've been pretty consistent. You know what? It's May. Guys slump. I talked on Friday about the Derek Jeter test, where Derek Jeter was hitting 180 until late May. You do, as frustrating as it is, have to give people time. But in the case of McNeil, this goes back to last year. And let me pose the question that we're not posing. But I want to pose it now because I've lived through Muhammad Wilkerson. I've lived through guys who've gotten paid and then they start sucking for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Jeff McNeil's been nothing since he got his contract. Is it because he's too concerned about his golf game? Like, what's the reason? And if that's an unfair question, I'm just telling you, the guy won a batting title. He got a very nice contract. He's been dog bleep since.
At least he has his car now.
Finally, Francisco should take it back, honestly. If I'm Lindor, I'd say, you know what? Get the 300. I'll give you the car back.
Imagine Lindor repossessing the car because he hasn't hit in a year and a half.
I'll tell you right now, Lindor does that, I'll buy his jersey. I'll become his biggest fan. But when you look at the issues, and the Mets have plenty of issues. Like, for example, we talked about this on the Rico. Download it wherever you get your podcast. They can't throw a guy out at second base. They can't throw a guy out at third base trying to steal. Their percentages, and a lot of it's on the pitching, it's not on Narvaez and Nito and before that Alvarez, has been as bad as I've ever seen. They are letting teams run rampant against them. Obviously, Edwin Diaz threw a very fat slider to Randy Arozarena. He makes the right pitch. We're having a different discussion. So it's more than just one guy, and certainly there are things that can concern you about this team. And to me, throwing guys out at second and third may be my number one concern, because how's that changing? But Jeff McNeil's got to wake up. Because he's been lucky in this town. He has been living so under the radar because let's rip all Lindor. Let's rip Alonso. And I get it. Those are big money guys. They are superstars. They come with higher expectations. Well, Jeff McNeil had his own expectations, especially when the guy got paid and he won the batting title. And since then, what has he done? Like, even last year, he ended up hitting 270. He still had a crappy year. He raised that batting average in the final 2 months. Right. Well, let's face it, the games didn't even freaking matter. So he's a disaster they need to figure out. And here's the other problem. They don't have the option to just, well, let's bench him. For what, Joey Wendell? Like, they don't have the options. Even their young players, like Luis Angel Acuna and Jet Williams, who's now on the IL, they're not ready.
I'll tell you who was ready this weekend. My boy Christian Scott. That was good. He was shoving, as the kids say, on Saturday night.
But it is time to lift the curtain on the crappiness that has been Jeff McNeil. Wake up. Wake up. Because I'm starting to get worried that Jeff got his contract, he likes to play his golf, and he don't give a rat's ass anymore. And he wouldn't be the first who, by the way, got their contract and stopped playing.
And
wouldn't be
the first. That sounds an awful lot like Aaron Hicks.
Absolutely. And he's such a Debbie Downer, dude. He's like hanging out with your mother-in-law. Like, he's just got such a negative energy. He's pouting. Can you imagine being around this guy?
Whose mother-in-law are we talking about, too, by the way?
Any mother-in-law.
I actually love my mother-in-law.
Me, too.
Yeah, okay. Listen, lightning can strike inside, too. I'm sick of his act. I think they should just get rid of him. You're right, Ev, on that
spot. Let me get rid of him, though. Like, well, they can't get rid of
him. He's useless.
What if you get rid of him, like DFA him?
He's useless. Like I said, he's a Debbie Downer. I'm sure there's guys in the locker room that are sick of his act. We're all sick of it. He's more focused on golf. Enough. He brings nothing to the table.
I will say this about his Debbie Downer attitude, and this is the beautiful part about sports. When you hit 231 and you throw your helmet and you're always upset, you're Jeff McNeil and you're a, quote, Debbie Downer. When you hit 310, you're Paul O'Neill.
No, you're right about that.
No, you're a warrior when you do that.
You're a warrior. Yeah, you win a couple championships, too. That helps the legacy, the whole deal. By the way, better get it together here, because right after this Cardinals series, the Atlanta and Philly run begins.
Well, shockingly, the Mets won a series against Atlanta. Meanwhile, they get swept by the Tampa Bay Rays.
Go ahead. Go win, too.
Oh, you're challenging the Mets for this weekend?
Yeah, I am.
You know what? Before you get to Atlanta, see, here's the difference between you and the eye.
You don't look ahead.
I'm looking at the Cardinals. I'm looking at a St. Louis team that just lost 2 out of 3 to the Chicago White Sox, a Cardinal team that got booed at home that actually happened.
You just lost 3 to the only team that got swept by the White Sox this year.
I understand, but I'm saying this is what matters to me. I'm not even thinking about Friday against Atlanta. I'm not thinking about those 4 games against the Philadelphia Phillies. Nope. They got to get back to 500, because now I'm scared your fat lips are going to be right. Because I know you're going to say it again. The Mets will never see 500 again.
I was going to ask the question.
Just say it.
Will the Mets ever see 500
again? I think they will, but what about you?
No.
Of course not.
I think it's over.
Nah, it's over.
I think we see 3 parades in this town before we see the Mets see 500 again.
He was waiting for this moment. You know what's so crazy? And I know this isn't going to make anybody feel better, but I want to say it again. Because I know you're probably not checking the standings. Who reads the newspaper anymore? The Mets at 16-18. Are a game out of a playoff spot. And the only reason I say that is that the bar on being a contender in the National League is not that high. It may not take 88 wins to make the postseason. I knew this when they added the 3 wildcard teams. I said, boy, there's going to be a year in which a wildcard team is 80-82. So if that's this year in the National League, I'm not saying the Mets are going to be that team. But what I am saying is it doesn't take a lot to be in the race.
No, you're right.
It doesn't take a lot. But Jeff McNeil, wake the F up. Let's go to Fred in East Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Fred?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. Evan, you make a great point about Mr. McNeil. When he first came up, I said, this guy's going to be something special. Every time there was guys on base, he'd hit a line drive. I don't know. He lost his swing somewhere along the line. And I'd like to also make a point on the Knicks. What do you feel are differences and similarities to the great teams of the 90s that the Knicks had? Thank you.
Well, I mean, similarities. First of all, why are we doing this? Like, why do we have to compare everything to the 90s? Why? Like, you finally, as a Knicks fan, don't have to compare everything to the 90s because you have a team. Like, you don't have to sit there thinking about how much fun 1994 and 1999 was. Like, you have your own team. But he asked a question. He seemed like a nice guy. I think the toughness, I guess, would be similar. They're both very tough. They both have a superstar player. Your superstar in the mid-90s was 7 foot, and he was number one overall in the draft. This superstar is a foot shorter, and you signed him in free agency,
right,
and everybody thought he was okay and not great. So there aren't that many similarities, but as far as McNeil's concerned,
the similarities are they're relevant.
Yeah, they're both good.
Yeah, exactly.
They're good teams. Jeff McNeil is shocking because in the first 3 years of his career, I sat here with Joe. We were doing the show together, and we looked at him and said, that's like mini Tony Gwynn. Like, that's how we viewed him. And he was hitting 330 as a rookie, at 318, he had 311.
And you love the versatility in the field, could play a million positions.
Absolutely. And then he had a horrible season in 2021. But because he bounced back in 2022 and won the batting title, I think we all viewed 2021 as an anomaly. Like, all right, that was just a weird offseason. But the last 2 years have basically been repeats. So what's now becoming concerning is that 3 of the last 4 years have been bad. And that 2022 and winning the batting title, that was the anomaly, which I wouldn't have thought until recently. But if you look at his track record, that's what we're seeing. And that's a major, major concern. And right now, there's no in-house answer. There's no easy answer. Want to drop him in the lineup? He's already not hitting in a big RBI spot. Want to bat him ninth? Fine. What he needs to do is wake the F up because it reeks of a player who got his big contract and now is content. And that's got us. 230 is not acceptable.
No. It's kind of a reminiscent, if we were doing radio, which we're not in L.A., the end of Cody Bellinger in L.A., where he just fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, and look what happened with Cody. He goes somewhere else and then becomes great again.
But it's easy to become great again when you have pop in your bat, and baseball is a place for that. If all you're doing is hitting for average and you stop hitting for average.
Well, that's the problem. Jeff McNeil is the kind of player, because he's not a high walk guy, even though his walk percentage is actually up, the only way he's useful is by hitting 310. Like, Pete Alonso, I'm not concerned about his batting average. Like, I get it. People want him to hit 250, 260. I get it. But if Pete can mash 45 home runs and 115 RBIs, it's not the end of the world if he's hitting 215. You know what I mean?
There's always a place for that. See Chris Davis.
I don't like that comparison.
Well, Jay, it happened.
I don't think that's a fair comparison at all.
Why? Because you wouldn't grow a beard for Chris Davis?
Which Chris Davis are you talking about, by the way?
The Baltimore.
Chris Davis or Chris Davis with Baltimore?
Baltimore,
Chris. Okay, Davis. No, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, home run or nothing.
You know, no, he was all home run or nothing, and I think the thing that scares me and the reason probably why I don't like the comparison is he got his contract and he completely fell apart.
Yep.
I'm not concerned about that with Pete Alonso, though, but I think we're seeing that right now with Jeff McNeil. Ryan's in Rockland. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I just want to talk about the Rangers. Evan, I felt like you were kind of trolling us a little bit before. I respect the pick. I know you're an Islanders fan. I know you like to hate on that other team at Madison Square Garden.
But you realize that I wasn't, and I just believe in your hockey team, right?
I want to say that you believe in it. Evan, I really like you, so I want to say you believe in us, but I really hope this isn't a troll job.
No, son.
Because if you could see me at the end of that game yesterday in my living room and the passion that I have for that team and – the fact that I was yelling at everybody around me to get away when I was worried about us losing that game, like, you better not be trolling us because I'm a fan of yours, Evan, but I can't handle
it. No, I'm not trolling. I mean it. Your stars have shown up. You've been excellent on special teams. Igor's playing with confidence, and you're damn good. And yeah, you should believe what I believe. You just had a regular season in which you had more points than any other team in the NHL. You've got home ice advantage throughout the postseason. Someone has to walk into Madison Square Garden and beat you for you not to win a championship this season. Like, there are reasons why I look at this team, especially yesterday with the nature of how they won, especially overcoming Carolina's ferocious comeback attempt, and I say to myself, holy crap, they're going to win the Stanley Cup. And there ain't any troll in my voice. There ain't any sarcasm in my voice. It's real. And it's why you guys should be getting. Now, do you have a long way to go? Of course. You got to win this series. You got to win 11 more games. But I look at this team, and it scares me half to death.
Man, Ryan just planted something in my head, and I hope I'm not being gullible now.
Go ahead.
Evan and I, we all talked before the show. I believed it in his eyes when he said, yeah, that Ranger win was different. I believed it for the first hour of the show. And usually when Tiki's here, me and Tiki connect eyes, and we know when there's a subtle motive by Evan.
No motive.
I have believed you for an hour and 15, but now Ryan's got me second-guessing
what
myself.
But based on what?
I think that you saw yesterday as a big-time Ranger moment and a big-time Ranger win. And I think rather than dance on the grave if something goes wrong, you want to be the one to say, hey, I told you I believe.
I'm not looking for an I told you so. I don't need an I told you so. I don't even want an I told you so. Yesterday afternoon, as I was battling my back pain issues,
I cannot believe the back.
No, it's bad. I got diagnosed today by the great doctor, Stephen Nicholas, great doctor, who everybody knows. He's like the guy.
Yeah.
Craig takes credit for introducing him to me, but the truth is, I met him after I got run over by a taxi all the way back in 2016. And I want to thank the great Eric Spitz. Eric Spitz is the one who now works at Sirius, who said you should see Dr. Stephen Nicholas.
He's
one of the great
doctors.
How many guys
in radio have back issues?
No, I don't even know.
Power forwards in the NBA?
I don't know if Eric had the back issues. I think it was more he knows Dr. Okay. Nicholas and said, that's the guy to go see. So I saw him this morning, and I very much appreciate that. And he diagnosed my issues. I have a major case of back spasms.
Wow.
And so when he told me that and he assigned me drugs, which I will not be taking while on the air because it can get you a little loopy, whip out the jumbo package.
Thank God for drugs.
What I kept thinking about, and I appreciate him seeing me and I appreciate the diagnosis, is when I ever hear an athlete has back spasms and has to miss a game or two, I'm like, whatever. He'll be back in a day.
Twitchy muscle. Get back out there.
Just get back out there. I got back spasms. I can't walk. I got back spasms. Sean will tell you, I'm like in pain every time I stand up or sit down or move. And so it actually gives me more of a respect for athletes or less of a respect for myself. That maybe I am that weak. That this kind of injury would cause Tiki to be like, I'm good, I'll play on Sunday. And yet with me, it's like I'm laying in a coma.
Me and Loogie have not seen you stand up or walk normally in 2 weeks. So that's where we're at right now.
And it's back spasms.
So maybe it's just a good karma. You feel like you're back. There's a lot of negative energy. So let me just feel positive about the Rangers and that.
No.
Through the power of healing can heal your back.
No, stop trying to split the atom. My fat ass was watching hockey yesterday. And you know how I described the death of a season in my dad's eyes when Max Scherzer blew that game to the Yankees last year? Well, if you were sitting next to me, but I wasn't invited over your house for that party you always have when the Rangers play, you would
have... Not yesterday, the rain.
Yeah, you could have dealt with it. Put an umbrella up or something.
Put an umbrella up.
Yeah, but if we were sitting next to each other during that game, you would have looked into my eyes and saw the opposite. And
birth
saw
of a season?
The birth of a championship. Yeah. Like, holy crap, they're going to win the cup. I didn't think it during the stadium series. I didn't think it during your long winning streak. I didn't think it when you were hoisting the make-believe President's Trophy that actually does exist. There is a President's Trophy.
Oh, we found that out. It exists.
Yeah, it's okay. A real trophy, believe it or not. I didn't even think it when you swept the Washington Capitals, but I thought it yesterday. And so you could look for whatever ulterior motive you want. I think watching them yesterday, especially the way they held off Carolina and how great they were on specials, killing off the five power plays the Hurricanes had, winning the key faceoffs that they did down the stretch, I was just like, holy crap, I think they're going it all.
So how come I haven't heard four special words yet, if you really feel that way? Sean, you were right. Because I've been the one waving the flag, not afraid to mush them, and told you how good this team was.
I mean, I'll say that when they win the cup. Is that what you want? You want me to
proclaim that you think they're going to win the cup.
I think they're going to win the cup. Okay, so, that's me. What do you want me to do?
You're on the Sean train. Sean, you were right. I'm on the bandwagon with you.
I am on the Sean train.
All right.
I think that I am.
Chugga, chugga, choo-choo.
I mean this with all due respect, because I think you're a great Ranger fan. I feel like I have more credibility than you.
Okay.
I do. I mean, you may know more hockey than me. I totally acknowledge that.
You thought the Rangers lost beat Nashville 17 years ago.
That was an innocent mistake.
Okay.
So I give you the knowledge,
uh-huh.
But what you are, and I say this with love because I really like you. I think what you've done for this show and this station has been magical, no matter what everybody says on social media.
Oh, people have come around.
But I think you're a fanboy. And so okay. I think when you say the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup, you say it from a position of you wish it, you hope it, you're a fanboy. When I say it, and I understand there's skepticism out there, and I respect that, but when I say it, and you can look into my eyes when I say this to you, when I say it, it's because I believe it.
Okay,
it's
so.
Because I'm scared of it. I am not trying to jinx you or anything. I'm just telling you how I feel. You, on the other hand, you're kind of a fanboy.
First of all, I don't...
Is that a fair opinion of Sean, a little fanboyish?
I don't deny being a fanboy. Loogie's known me a long time. I love my teams. I choose not to be negative. I'm the power of positivity. However, if you think that I pick the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup every single year, you're nuts. I know a good team from a bad team, and this is a very good team.
Okay, so a year ago...
Well, I thought they'd win the Cup. I thought they'd win the Cup 2 years ago.
You're bound to be right eventually.
So you're on a three-year winning streak.
I did not believe in the pandemic bubble.
Okay, great. He went out on a limb in that weird pandemic where they shouldn't have even been in the playoffs.
Backed off.
I don't even consider that a playoff year, personally.
Yes, you do.
No, it's not a play. No. I'm going to make this clear. No, because you're going to twist my words.
Yep.
Your round of the playoffs was not a real playoff round. The Islanders going to the conference finals and losing to Tampa Bay, it was real.
Okay. So
but that first round.
The goalpost.
No, hold on. Wasn't that first round best of three?
Yes, it was.
I'm sorry.
Best of five.
No, three. No, Mr. Hockey. Mr. Hockey.
I forgot.
You forgot.
I did forget.
Ask me.
Evan, was it best of three or best of five?
It was best of three. And you guys can confirm that. Rosie, can you confirm it was best of three?
I believe.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're right, it was best of
no, no, can you confirm it? Not I believe.
I mean, sure. Yeah. Did we play two games or three games?
You lost both.
Lost both and we were done. So it was a big
that's not the playoffs.
That's fair.
And I'll give you even more fairness.
Why do I feel like they played more games in the bubble? Wow.
Maybe I'm wrong. That's why I asked Rosie to double check me. He's just like, yeah, I assume you're right. No, look it up. But I'll tell you one thing I do remember about the bubble. Jokes aside, Igor Shesterkin made his postseason debut in said bubble.
He did.
And I look at that and I'm like, does that even count? Like, it's a short series. It's not even a real series.
Lundqvist was still on the team.
Henrik started the other game.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, it was best of three. They lost two games in a row, and Henrik started one, and Igor started the other. Do you guys have the information?
No. So the qualifying rounds were, best of five.
Oh, I'm wrong.
My fat ass. I knew it.
Carolina
beat. You're second-guessing my hockey knowledge. Kiss my inverted fat ass.
Carolina
Kiss
beat him.
Kiss my fat ass.
3-0, but these were best of five series. Best Islanders 3-1 over Florida.
They played more than two games.
The Rangers are very, very good. By the way, can you do me a favor? And I don't know if our new boss Ryan Hurley is handling this, or if it's David who works here.
Get the vibe. There's a lot on their plate.
You got to get Rosie off the show. I mean, he's here for one reason, and that's because he supposedly knows hockey.
Gets exposed.
And he immediately says,
you know
I
what?
Think you're right, Evan. I mean, why are you here, Rosie? I love you.
I'm a current hockey fan.
That was current. It was 2020.
It was 2020. The world was falling apart. So we don't remember a qualifying round in a dopey hockey playoff series.
So what you're saying is you're comparing it to the play-in round of the baseball playoffs, right? It's that. That's what we're.
That's where you had the best of three.
That's where it is.
You were thinking of the baseball.
Yeah, I probably was thinking of the baseball.
That's the comparison.
Either way, my point remains. Do they play best of five series in the NHL?
No. Okay, so it doesn't count as a postseason.
So
by the way, that only makes me feel better then, because then they didn't lose a real postseason series,
and
I didn't believe.
And if I'm not mistaken, a year before that, they wrote season ticket holders a letter saying we're not trying to win.
Yeah.
So if those are the years you're not picking them to win the Stanley Cup, it shows you that any time they are decent, you pick them to win the Stanley Cup.
You're damn right.
Okay, so that proves my point. Thank you. Anthony's in Bridgewater, New Jersey. How you doing, Anthony? Anthony, what's up, man? Anthony going once. Anthony going twice. Anthony's gone. We'll go to Chris in Manhattan. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, I've been doing great. Two things on the Mets. I totally agree with you about McNeil. He should be hitting in the hardest position of any batting lineup, the guy right before Nito. Move him to ace. Brett Beatty should be moved up in the lineup.
Yeah.
And boy, don't we miss having Mauricio as an option right now, huh?
Yeah, I've kind of put him out of my mind because he's been hurt for so long, but you're right. I mean, if they had another young emerging player in the mix, it'd be easier to bench Jeff. Right now, their only option to bench him is Joey Wendell, and I don't think anybody's in love with that.
Nobody wants to see that, not right now, certainly. And then the prospects look like they're a little ways away, at least a second.
Yep.
Evan, I got to tell you, though, I'm nervous about Diaz. I'm not so nervous that I'm not so frustrated that he gave up the home run. There's something going on. There's a kind of a spirit that he doesn't have. He's throwing 9-10 sliders in a row, and you can't be a one-pitch pitcher. I know his slider's killer, but he's afraid to go to that fastball. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think there's a couple of things here, and I will give you my view on Edwin in terms of nervousness. I am now on alert, would be the way I'd phrase it. I'm on alert with Edwin Diaz. First of all, what is happening is his velocity is down a tick with his fastball. He does not have that excellent command with his slider. And that's what happened with the Arozarena at-bat. He tried to throw him a slider down and away, and he missed. And unfortunately, he left it up, and Randy crushed it. So number one, his velocity is down a tick. He's throwing his slider a ton, and he doesn't have that same command. That game yesterday was on Edwin Diaz. I know the Mets left like countries on base, but the closer's on the mound, the strike away with a one-run lead and two outs and nobody on.
And a high-paid closer, not a closer by committee.
No doubt. The best closer in baseball, right? You got to get that last out. And one thing about Edwin and blown saves in general is sometimes there are blown saves because they're going to happen in the season. Right. Not everybody's going to have a perfect season. And sometimes it's the timing of it. The timing could not be worse. You're about to get swept. You have not played well. You're going to drop two games under 500. That was a debilitating blown save. So, A, they lost the game yesterday because of Edwin Diaz. And B, my concern level is I'm warned. You know, it's like a warning. Yeah. It's like the flashing light is on and he's the closer and I'm not burying him, but I think I'm on high alert.
That won't be the last moment like that. And much like an ace starting pitcher could stop the bleeding, a closer gets a lead and you're on a losing streak like that.
Yeah.
That's how you stop the bleeding.
No
doubt. Hammer at home, and he didn't do that yesterday. To a guy who can't hit anything this year.
Look, there are other things that screwed them. Like, for example, in the 10th inning, after they get the luck, and it was luck that they got a run because of the dropped play at first base by Yandy Diaz, you got to add another.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, let me just get this off my chest. I lost my mind on the Rico screaming about this. So I'm going to try not to scream. I don't want to scream. In a very happy mood today. I got medicine for my back. We got playoff basketball tonight at Madison Square Garden. We got the Mets against the Cardinals. I'm a happy, happy man, okay? All right. If you're Jake Diekman and you're ahead of this son of a bitch 0-2, can you not throw pitches right down the freaking middle, which he did over and over and over again until the game ended? Can you bury a changeup in the dirt, Jake? Can you do that for me? Can you not throw batting practice when you're ahead 0-2? Okay. I got through that. Yeah. If you want to hear me scream after the show is over, after Loogie's done, after Keith is done, sometime at 2 a.m., because you don't need to listen to Big Mac, download the Rico Bronya. I'm just kidding. I love Big Mac.
You didn't
Big Mac's my guy. What?
The biggest problem from the game is not even on the Mets side. What are the Rays doing with these? Are those their City Connect jerseys?
Oh, yeah, they're terrible.
What? You can't even read the print on them?
I know. You know how frustrating that was as someone who writes the number down in a scorecard? I couldn't see the numbers.
It looked like the, you know, the future jerseys. It looked like they were doing that again. Enough.
Yeah, it was abysmal. I hate everything about the Tampa Bay Rays. I think they have no fan base. I don't like their franchise. I don't like their fans. I really hate their stadium. What do you think their stadium is, Rosie? What would you call it?
It's a dome, right?
It's a dome, yeah. It's a disgusting monstrosity of a dome.
The Tropicana Dome.
Yes. Tropicana Field, but it is a dome, yeah. You know the Lightning played there? Did you know that?
I did know that. You know what? That place, in a lot of ways, is just like Rosie when he turns the microphone on. A disaster.
Wow.
Just kidding, Rosie.
We'll come back with more of your
fat
calls.
Moron.
The Rangers on the verge.
Holy God!
Of potentially making you all believe they're going to win the Stanley Cup. My biggest issue with the Mets, his name is Jeff McNeil. And we'll get to the Knicks coming up a little bit later on, including exploring the two voices of Tyrese Halliburton. Lots going on this busy Monday. I've spent some time talking about the New York Rangers. One down, three more to go in their series against Carolina. Can rewind on the Odyssey app to the top of the show on why I think this team's actually going to win the Stanley Cup. We've touched on the Mets as well. We'll get to the Knicks as the show rolls on, including exploring the mystery of the two voices that Tyrese Halliburton has. But last night, I sat down. I completely forgot about this. But I was getting ready to go to sleep, and what I like to do when I go to sleep is put something on YouTube, and then I fall asleep. That's just the way I go, and I don't think I'm that crazy for doing that. And so I go on YouTube, and I immediately see, actually, before I got to YouTube, I went on Twitter, okay, and I saw a mention of the Tom Brady roast. Now, I knew about the Tom Brady roast, but I forgot about it, and I'll start right there. How come they didn't do a better job promoting the Tom Brady roast? Because the fact I had no idea as I was getting ready to go to bed, like usually when big events occur, you bombard us with ads to where you know it's happening and then you make a decision if you want to watch it or not. So I thought that was a miss by Netflix that they didn't do a better job of promoting it. And the reason I say that is because when I turned it on and I rewinded it to the beginning, oh my God, that was amazing. And yeah. I never compliment Tom Brady stuff. Now, as far as he's concerned, he did nothing. In fact, his jokes were lame as F, so I'm not putting him over. But the entire show was brilliant. And this is the best part for those that haven't seen it. They held nothing back. Nothing back. Yeah. I mean, it was no holds barred. We're going to make jokes about Giselle. Yep. We're going to make jokes about Aaron Hernandez. We're going to make jokes about the Flakegate. We're even going to make jokes about Robert Kraft getting massages. Like, this was off the charts funny. All the Roastmasters were great. That Jeff Ross, who's like good. King Roastmaster. What's the blonde's name?
Nikki
who's on Howard Stern all the time?
Nikki Glaser.
Nikki, oh my God, Nikki Glaser.
She's very good in roast.
I can't even repeat half of this stuff. This was amazing. And so I was kind of bothered that they didn't let us know about it more aggressively.
So I completely agree. Think about this. As sports fans, we are in the midst of the NBA and NHL playoffs. I've watched a ton. Evan, you've watched a ton. We've barely watched anything besides the playoffs. I haven't seen one commercial run. Hey, Netflix, Sunday night, blah, 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 blah. So I can only imagine if you're watching Netflix, maybe that's where the ads were running on that night. I do not have Netflix. That was part of a problem.
Oh, you don't have Netflix?
No. Oh. They took away the password sharing. I was using my mother-in-law's forever, and they cracked down, and I put my foot down. There's not enough programming on Netflix that would get me to buy it, but now I see this happen.
No, there's no live sports on Netflix that would make it happen.
Well, that's a good point. But I used to love Ozark.
Yep.
That ended. Every show is always in British. I'm over Netflix.
It's in British.
It is. I've been over Netflix, but now I do feel like I was late to the party. I threw that out on Twitter list, and apparently a lot of people still have Netflix. I thought a lot of people cut it out because they couldn't share passwords.
Now, believe it or not, I did this research a few months ago, unrelated, which is the most popular streaming service? Netflix is number one. Last check. Like, believe it or not. Yeah.
I mean, I pay for Max. I pay for Braun.
I get that.
Peacock.
I get that.
It's not even a matter of money. It's principle.
No, I know.
What he's giving to me.
There's too many. And like, truthfully, like, I was lucky last night. I don't think I watch anything on Netflix. So like, personally, I think my wife watches a few things, so it's not a complete waste.
Right.
But I got to tell you, man, watching that show last night, I was, you know, wetting my pants. I was laughing.
I don't think I know. We're talking about moisture or solid?
You can't say certain things on the radio.
I'm just asking you
so
for...
you can't like say the bodily function?
I don't know.
Like when you're laughing, what happens when you laugh, Sean?
Well, for me, both.
Really?
In my life,
that's true. I've heard about that.
So I was just wondering.
All right, just the normal stuff.
So moisture. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And I thought this was brilliant, and I started thinking to myself, they got to do more. But the question is, like, Tom Brady is so unique because, A, he's one of the biggest stars in all of sports, and, B, there's a lot of things from his life and from career that are really funny. And the one thing I love about comedy, and even in the times we live in, the PC culture we live in, I don't feel like we've lost that with comedy. Like, if you go to a comedy club, you will still hear off-color jokes. You will still hear offensive jokes. And that's okay. Like, the beauty of offensive jokes when you pay for it is you don't have to laugh. Like, I'm going to give you an example straight from the heart.
All right.
Tom Brady made a joke about 9/11.
Right.
I am not going to cancel Tom Brady. I'm not going to say I was offended by it. I'll just tell you it wasn't funny. Didn't make me laugh. Now, if it made you laugh, that's up to you. That's fine. I'm not going to judge you. I didn't find it funny. So it's okay to have jokes that are offensive, because I can see how that's offensive. It's freaking 9/11.
Right. No,
but
I agree.
It's okay to say, I didn't find that one funny. But the next one, that was hilarious.
Yeah. So it's a safe haven to still laugh at nonsense.
And there was really offensive nonsense, but it was awesome, because that's what comedy is. So my point is, okay, Tom Brady's got a lot of stuff like that. You know, the marriage with Giselle, which was attacked a lot. The murder involving Aaron Hernandez, touchy subject. Bob Kraft getting the massages. And I'm not sure if Tom was really upset about that. I know he did get up and talk to Jeffrey Ross.
Yeah, he did, which is weird.
Never make a joke about that again or something of that nature.
There were far worse jokes made last night than
that. Well, I would say this about Tom Brady. If Tom Brady was offended by that joke and none others, then he's got problems.
Yeah.
Because you basically got Nikki Glaser talking about a fitness instructor who could kick Tom Brady's ass and then do something else with Giselle's. Like, I mean, my God. If you're going to be offended by anything, you would think that the mother of your child, you know, being talked about in that way, would be the one that gets Tom Brady to get up and say something. If he's offended by a senior citizen getting a massage, like, Tommy, get your freaking priorities
straight. That part was clearly staged.
You think so?
I think he knew the joke was coming. I think he knew all the jokes were coming. And he did that so Robert Kraft doesn't get mad at him.
So his ex-wife being mad, whatever. Who cares?
Who cares about your ex-wife? But Robert Kraft, I think he wants to keep that relationship, so I think they staged it.
And by the way, that could speak to a part of the reason why he's divorced. He's way more protective over Robert Kraft. But remember when that happened, shout out Orchids of Asia in Jupiter, Florida, when that happened... that was right kind of in the aftermath of Robert Kraft's wife passing away, so maybe that's a little more sensitive to the Patriot family.
So you don't think it was fixed the way Loogie said?
No, I don't think he knew that joke was coming. I think he was more sending a message to everybody else, let's lay off the Robert Kraft.
Look, either way, I think what made that roast, if you haven't seen it and you have Netflix and you have time, like, they ain't paying me a dime.
No,
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
I think it was freaking hysterical, and there's way too many jokes to, like, play them for you or describe them for you.
Most we can't play anyway.
Exactly. Here. So just go watch it on your own.
Just go Netflix and chill.
But what I thought about after was what I always think about when something awesome happens, and that's, hey, what can you do next? Like, is there anybody else in professional sports with the gravitas and also with the jokes that can be attached to it? Who?
Tiger Woods.
He's not bad. You know what the problem I have? And this is just me speaking. I am certainly not speaking for everybody else. I don't think I care about Tiger Woods anymore. But I think I'm in the minority, so I do think that is a really... interesting option, good option, and there's a lot to joke about, but he better be okay with it. Like, that's the key. To Tom's credit, and I got to give him all the credit in the world, as unfunny as he was when he did his stand-up, he accepted that. He knew there are no things that are off limits. And that's the only way a roast like that could work, you do that.
And at least Brady, in a retort to close a roast, because the whole deal with the roast is at the end, you go, you get to take your pot shots back. Me and you listened together. We didn't think a lot of what he did was funny. But
no, it was terrible.
At least he attempted to be funny. Tiger Woods doesn't strike me as somebody who for 10 minutes can stand up there at the end of it and actually put forth a good attempt to
be
funny.
You know what, though? Here's where I disagree with you. I've always been a big fan of the, what's the name of it? Where the media dinner with the presidents and they all make
correspondence
jokes.
Correspondence dinner.
That you get?
Yeah, he knows what I meant. Okay. I just forget the name of it. Great event. George W. Bush was really funny, right?
Yeah.
Barack Obama was really funny. You really think they're that funny? No. Well, they were given great things to joke about.
Yeah.
So that's my point about Tiger Woods. Just same thing with Tom Brady. He didn't write his own jokes. Give them funny jokes.
Really?
Deliver it. You think he wrote his own jokes?
I do.
Stop.
I really think Brady wrote that material himself.
He was also playing a character, it felt like. It felt like he became a wrestler and said, I'm going to be the heel. Like,
but
I'm going
to
be.
That's who he's trying to be now.
Oh, that's a shtick now?
Yeah, shtick on TikTok and all that other stuff.
Now, when he broadcasts games, you think he's going to be arrogant and say, I'm the greatest quarterback of all time, essentially?
Though. I think he's still trying to find his skin here post-career. I think he's going to realize when he gets in there, he's got to be a little different than what he's trying to be socially.
I just felt like he was playing some kind of character.
By the way, the answer is Mike Francesa.
He wouldn't go for it.
No, he wouldn't.
No, you know the answer. It's Michael Jordan. That's the answer.
Okay.
Jordan's the answer.
I thought about Jordan. Here's the problem. Okay, and I think we saw this in the documentary that came out a few years ago. There are going to be things that are just off limits. There are going to be things where you're not going to make jokes about it. Like, he'll take it personal. You think they can make a joke about his dad being killed? And I know that seems so dark, but they were making jokes about Aaron Hernandez being a murderer.
Right. Yeah. No, it would. He'd have to be okay with that, okay with him picking gambling over practicing and all those things.
That's minor league.
Being an awful GM and awful front office.
Minor league.
Yeah.
Minor league. That's fine. It's the dad stuff. And there's conspiracies around it. Like, he's not going to laugh at that. I don't think he'd be good with it. You know who I think would be great? And I think there's enough, but...
We're talking about an athlete or like an entertainer?
No, I'm talking about an athlete.
Okay. I wanted to guess, and now I'm off on it.
I think he's got a sense of humor now, and people got to be vicious. They got to whip it out, and they got to be vicious.
They got to whip it out and be vicious.
Just turn behind you, and you'll get the answer.
A-Rod.
A-Rod.
Oh,
A-Rod.
Man. You know when they should do it? February 16th, 2025, the anniversary of A-Rod Day.
Could you imagine Nikki Glaser talking about the needles that A-Rod stuck in his posterior?
The ex-girlfriends.
The girlfriends, the poses. Like, if Alex
Jeter
is good
can roast
with it,
them.
Oh. But then they got to roast Jeter. Like, a part of a roast.
Of course, everybody who's on that panel gets roasted, too.
You saw the beating Rob Gronkowski took.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if... See, that I was thinking about Jeter, too. The problem is, we all respect Derek Jeter. He's an all-time great player. I don't think he'd go for it. I don't think he'd go for the jokes.
Probably not.
He'd handle it well.
I think he would laugh.
You think so?
I think he would laugh at this point. Now, I wouldn't make a joke about not retiring his number at Yankee Stadium. Clearly, that does bother him. I might care about that more than any Madonna jokes.
The beautiful thing is Tom Brady, and I give him credit as much as I hate him. I was watching this thing waiting for the thing they wouldn't touch. That's what I was waiting for, because that's the skeptic that I am. What's the one thing that they will not make fun of? And within 30 seconds, they're making such inappropriate jokes about Giselle. And then Nikki Glaser's making jokes about the Bridget Moynihan and Tom leaving her while she was pregnant. And I'm like, holy crap. And then they went to Aaron Hernandez. And I'm like, whoa, my brain is like spiraling. And then Deflategate, of course, Spygate, of course. Like, they went everywhere. And that's why I thought it was so awesome, because nothing was off limits. And that's the key when you have a roast. And that's why a lot of people can't do it. Like, I understand that. Like, that's why you can't. It's not everybody. Michael Jordan is a great idea. I don't think he'd go for it. Derek Jeter, sure, sounds great in theory. I don't think he'd go for it. So I know I've said a lot of bad things about Tom Brady, and I still think he is an attention whore, last night being a great example of it. But, man, I got to give it to you, bro. That was tremendous. It was great TV.
We need to do one here at the 40th anniversary, I think.
You think Michael go for it?
I think it'd be great. And by the way, I'm an expert roaster I want on the panel.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You think you could roast?
I roasted my former radio partner, Damon Amendolara.
Oh, did you?
I had his birthday. I've roasted friends. I am like the king roaster at
roast. You know
what
the problem I have with roasts is that most of them are not that good.
I've
watched a lot of the Comedy Central roasts, and they're just, it's okay.
You don't think we can have a classic FAN roast?
Yeah, but it leaves out the key guy. And if Mike's not involved, it's a waste of time. He is like the Babe Ruth of this radio station. If he's not involved, like, yeah, it's funny to roast all of us. It's just not, it doesn't hit the same way. But nice idea.
Can I give you one more idea?
No.
Okay.
But thank you. Okay. Thank you for asking, because that was very kind of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Then you don't get it.
Ronnie's calling from Queens. What's up, Ronnie? How are you?
Guys, did you watch Backlash on Saturday?
I did, yeah. Me and my son watched all of Backlash. Yeah, Cody Rhodes defended his title. Yippity-doo-dah.
How amazing was the crowd? I'm 53 years old. I've been watching wrestling since Bob Backlund when he went on Channel 9 at 11 o'clock Saturday nights. How amazing was that crowd?
It was unbelievable. Like, for those that didn't see it, and it was actually on at a pretty good time. Backlash is a WWE premium live event, for those that don't know. The one after WrestleMania, so everybody forgets about it. It was in France, not Paris.
That's what Backlash was. I thought that's what I got from my wife when I came home from Philly.
Funny. No, I knew I had to explain it. It's one thing when it's WrestleMania, it's Backlash. But it's a WWE premium live event that was in France, and because of the time change or the time difference, it started at 1 o'clock. On a Saturday. So perfect for my sons, you know, because they got into wrestling, but they fell asleep at the end of WrestleMania, at least night one of WrestleMania. So we watched it, and he is so right. Like, the story of that event was that the crowd was chanting constantly. And it made me think how much better our sports would be if we ever chanted at that kind of level. So let me give you an example. Huh. And I'm not knocking Knicks fans or Ranger fans. You guys are great, obviously. But I want you to imagine for a second. Tonight at Madison Square Garden, there is never a moment in which the crowd is silent. They are chanting, Tyrese, two voice. Tyrese, two voice. Then they morph into, Carlisle looks like Jim Carrey. Carlisle looks like Jim Carrey, right? Then you get to, when Aaron Nemhart is at the line, who is this? Who is, or maybe we had a curse. Who the F is this?
Yes, more on that Cinco de Five.
Who the F is this? Like, just imagine.
Dudes, dogs, damage.
Right.
Took you long
dudes,
enough.
Dudes, dogs, damage.
There you go, Luke.
Can you imagine a 2.5-hour basketball game in which it is constant creative chants? Let's go next.
Sounds like the most annoying 2.5 hours of my life.
But it's not, because when we watched professional wrestling, and granted, a lot of it was in French, so I didn't even know what they were saying, or they had weird accents, so I didn't know what they were saying.
Why are they going to be weird accents? They're just accents.
Well, they're accents that we're not used to, that's
that
all.
That doesn't make them weird.
I have a weird accent for them. If I walked into Paris, France, and I started talking about the Mets, they'd say, that man has a weird accent.
But isn't that just an accent? Are all accents weird?
No, I don't think Southern accents are weird. I think they're awesome.
Well, hey, bam, we'll get you some sweet tea. That's weird.
That's your imitation of it?
Of a Southern accent?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Hey, y'all, how are you doing?
Nah.
No?
I think you should
Joel
leave.
Joel Embiid est un perdant.
I think you should leave to the imitations to your daddy, Greg Giannotti. Who, by the way, didn't make you look like a chicken on Friday?
Yeah, it was chicken parm. Thank you that somebody here showed up to represent the show. But, you know.
Well, I wasn't invited.
Listen, all I will tell you is backstage.
Well, they gotta get invited.
There was a lot of murmur backstage, quote, Evan, Tiki, and Loogie, they never want to represent.
I was never asked. I'd love, well, actually, no. It's a Friday night. I gotta go home to my family.
That you've given off the image that you're not even worth asking anymore.
Whoa. Herm Edwards, put your name on it. Who did the murmurs come from?
Let's just say people who might handle architecture for this.
Oh yeah, he gave me the business before the show, so I can corroborate that.
That does sound like something the man who leads architecture, the architect of the radio station, would say. And you know what I would say back?
You pay me?
No.
Pay me, bitch.
No, if I was asked to do something, of course I would do it. I love those guys. You know that they promoted my book. I appreciate that. My Mets Bible, by the way, on sale right now. If you haven't purchased it, go get it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.